All right. It's a good day to be alive, right? What do we say when you're on this side of the dirt? It's always a good day to be alive. Oh. As I begin to prepare, begin to ask God, what would you have us learn about? Because, that's part of why we're here, is to learn more on the things of God. So as we learn more, we can draw closer into the things of Him. And as we draw closer into Him, there becomes less and less of us and less of the things that trip us up, Because if all you're putting in is God, that's the only thing that can come out, And for those of you who know me, I'm a big fan of the History Channel documentaries, much to my wife's dismay. And there's a quote. I want you to know, I want to see if anybody knows where this is from. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Declaration of Independence. Thank you, Tommy. That is the foundation of our country. That document was the foundation. It's what started it all when they said, "We're all endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And see, that's what I want to talk about tonight. Not life, because we know about life. We all have life. We have liberty because you woke up in the USA. But what I want to talk about is the pursuit of happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is an emotion, right? And everybody wants to be happy, right? You want to be happy? What will make you happy? Think about that question. What will make you happy right now? Many times we say, "I'll be happy when," right? You ever said that? "I'll be happy when X happens or Y happens." See, happiness, unfortunately, is an emotion, and that's triggered by outside forces, by the people, places, and things around us. But the bad part about happiness and the pursuit of happiness is when you get it, it goes away real quick. You ever notice that? When you work and work for something, you say, "I'll be happy when I get this bill paid off." You get that bill paid off like we did this last week. And you're like, "Woo, I did it." Okay, now what? Have you ever been there? You say, I'll be happy. "I know I'm going to be happy, God, when you give me this." And then you get that, and you're not happy. It's like, I remember growing up, I played some video games when I was growing up. There was a game that came out, and I said, "Mom and Dad, I'm going to be happy when you get me this game. I'm going to be happy." I pestered them for months, right? They bought it for me. Threw it in there the first time, played it, and I was like, "Okay, now what? What do I do now?" Jeremy feels me back there. He knows. You see, happiness is a temporary feeling. And so many times we, as people, chase what we think will make us happy, only to grab a hold of it and realize, "I'm no happier today than I was yesterday." And so many times we run after things. We say, "I want to be happy. I don't want people to stand in the way of my happiness." Or, "I want to be happy when I get this. I want to be happy when I get that." And I keep repeating that because I say that all the time. You know? And when you try to, but unfortunately, many times when you're trying to make yourself happy, you're making the flesh happy. In Galatians 5:19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, of your flesh, when you follow the desires of yourself, the results are very clear. And it goes on to list sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envying, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So when you're following the desires of your flesh, when you're trying to make yourself happy, you find all of these things. And they're not good. Right? Because I look at so many people's lives and I say, I'm trying to be happy. They say, these things are making me happy. But I look at their life and I ask them, then why are you so sad? If it makes you happy, why are you so sad? Because it's an endless cycle when you're chasing the pursuit of happiness. Because happiness is fleeting. It's a temporary feeling. Because, you know, studies have found that acquiring money, education, a big house, or an expensive car do not affect happiness levels as much as we'd like to expect. Many different types of researchers have studied those who've won the lottery and found year after year that people who have won are no happier than the ones that did not experience winning. Why is that? It's a phenomenon called hedonistic adaptation. It's a big word for you. Hedonistic adaptation. And what that means is no matter what you get, you're going to feel a temporary high and you're going to be right back where you were. You know, because everyone has a baseline of happiness. And when you're chasing after things to make that happiness increase, the next day you're back where you were. The effects of happiness are temporary. And people tend to revert to their baseline levels after they have received something external or materialistic in nature. Enjoying a high quality of life does not depend as much on money and material comfort as people might believe, because worldly comforts merely fulfill a desire for a temporary feeling. So you get that, guys. All of this stuff that we're chasing after, it's great in the moment, but it leaves you empty when you get it. You ever been there? I know I have. You see, the search for happiness can kill you if all you're worried about is your flesh. Kind of like Galatians there. What's going to happen? All of those things come when you're desiring your sinful nature. And let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will what? They will not inherit the kingdom. So if you're running after the things that you think will be happy, you're going to miss God. And you know, talking about happiness. Does anybody know who Vincent Van Gogh is? He's a painter. Very famous painter. Painted all sorts of stuff. But the dude was nutty. He was seven kinds of crazy and three times kinds of nutty. Okay? He would fall into huge bouts of depression. He'd even be institutionalized for long periods. This is a man with so much talent, but he was chasing after a happiness that he couldn't find. And there's a story about him. I don't know if it's true or not, but it may well be. It was a story that in one of the periods of time when he was locked up, for better term, in the nut house, he decided, I'm so far down. Nothing is making me happy that I'm going to eat some yellow paint, because that yellow paint will coat my insides with yellow, because it's a bright color, and it will bring me happiness. Think about that. See, the thing is, that bright yellow paint, he said, therefore I'm going to be happy when. He was so unhappy. Have you ever been so unhappy that you'd be willing to do anything you could to find happiness? He was willing to eat yellow paint. You know, we laugh at that, but seriously, when you run after the flesh, you start running out of options and ways to fill yourself. You end up with crazy things left. When you're willing to try anything and everything to feel a bit of happiness, you know, happiness will kill you. Because you know that pain, that yellow paint, while it's vibrant on the outside, it's toxic on the inside. Just like all these things on in this passage in Galatians that we read. All those things are great on the outside, but when they get on the inside, it'll kill you. It'll kill you every day. Because it's a joy for a moment, but it's a harm in a long run. It looks good, but it's ultimately not pointing to Jesus. So we talk about happiness here. Running after happiness is not the way to go. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative to happiness? See, we've got something better than happiness. It's a word called joy. Okay? Joy is not an emotion. It's not based on something positive happening to you outside. But joy is an attitude of the heart and the spirit from the inside coming out. See, happiness is me trying to fill my life from the outside in. And joy says, no, that's not the way. I'm going to do it from the outside, or from the inside out. And see, joy is internal and it's eternal. See, it's cultivated inside of us. And joy, having joy is more consistent than having happiness. Because if you have joy, you have joy every day. When you have joy, you wake up with joy. When you have joy, you eat lunch with joy. When you have joy, you go to bed with joy. But when you got happiness, you're running around trying to fill a hole that cannot be filled. And when you fill it for a moment, you're emptier than you were before. But see, joy, that is what we need to find. Joy. And where does joy come from? Joy comes from the Lord. See, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our joy comes from the author, from Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher. He's the first and the last. It all starts with him and it all ends with him. And all through the middle, it's him too. You see, that's where the joy of the Lord comes from him. Because in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says this. In the New Living Translation, it says, you love him, talking about Jesus, even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, talking about Jesus still, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. See, we don't see Jesus in front of us. We haven't seen him physically. But when we trust in him, we can rejoice with a joy unspeakable. And we can be full of glory. See, a joy unspeakable. A joy so much that words can't even begin to describe the joy that you have inside of you. See, words can't touch it. It's without words. When it says joy unspeakable, it's unable to be told. There's so much joy coming out of you that words pale in comparison. See, joy comes from the Lord. believing in Him, even though you haven't physically seen Him, to be full of glory. John, I want to look over in John 15. And this is Jesus talking. John 15 and verse 9. And He says, "As the Father has loved Me, so I loved you. Continue ye in My love." So Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, the Father God has loved Me, and I love you. Continue in My love. And in verse 10 it says, "Keep My commandments, and you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Okay? There's a lot going on here. Jesus is saying, I love the Father. The Father's love is in Me. You love Me. The Father's love is in you because of that. And to abide in My love, He's saying, keep My commandments. See, when we say Jesus is the author of it, what is He authoring? His commandments. He's saying, do these things. Seek after Me, and I will fill you with joy. And see, here, joy, it says, and my joy will remain in you, that your joy may be full. It's talking about that I'm going to pour My joy into you till there's nothing else can be in you. That's what He's saying here. He's saying, I'm going to pour My joy into you to where there can be nothing else but that joy. And see, in the New Living Translation in verse 11, it says, I've told you these things so that you may be filled with My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will begin to overflow. You see, joy is all about, it's in the midst of a trial, you have joy. It's in the midst of a hard time, in the midst of temptation, you've got joy. Because you have joy knowing that you're following after Christ and He's got your back. Because when you've got God behind you and beside you and in front of you, what can stop you? See, there was a time in my life where everything went wrong all at the same time. Lost my job. Had my girl say, you ain't got a job, I can't be with you. She literally called me and told me that. She said, I don't deal with no broke man. Literally, that's what she said. And then my car breaks down. Like, it was a bad country song all in a 3-week period. But when all this was happening, I remember sitting on my couch in my apartment and not being mad, not being upset, because I knew I had the joy of the Lord within me. Because even though there's disappointments, His joy says, I've got your back. It's going to be okay. It doesn't matter what's happening around you because I'm in you. And see, that is the joy, because Christ walks with us. That's the promise. And when God promises something, He always delivers. In my short time on earth, I've seen that over and over and over. And you know, I was talking about that bad country song. That was my life. But you know what? The joy of the Lord was my strength through it. Got a better job. Got an even better one since then. Amen. I've got a better car. And then got a better car since then. For whatever reason, the girl said, hey, you got a job, you got a car, and you love Jesus. Okay, let's get back together. Let's get married. So with the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sam said what? I'm 3 for 3. My batting average is 1,000. Because the what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the happiness. I'm not running after happy things trying to fill up. Because happy things are fleeting. But the joy always remains. The joy always remains. Because when Christ walks with you, and you know what? He says we can't physically see Christ as we walk with Him. We're led by Him. But you know what's even better too? We've got God. And we've got each other. Think about that. Because if we're all walking together in that joy, it says the joy will overflow. It's going to get on each of us. My joy is going to get on to you, Miss Mary. Your joy is going to get on to Brother Mike. Love you, Brother Mike. And his joy will spread out. And the joy will go all around us. And we can get through life trusting in God and working together. Because no matter how sad things get or what comes your way, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I keep repeating that because I want you to get that in your soul. And I want to make sure you don't eat yellow paint. And you certainly, Brother Mikey, don't eat yellow snow. Okay? See, that's what I want to leave you with.
Glory to God.
Don't eat yellow paint. Get your joy from the Lord. Because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Now, how do we end that? We end this with encouragement. Go forth. Do great things. Because God has placed great things in each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. He's placed great things. So this week, I want to encourage you. See, that's been my thing here recently, is encouragement. Encouraging folks. Because that's how we're going to get through this, is to build us up together. Encourage each other. This week, choose joy. Choose the things of God. Actively pursue those instead of running after happiness. Because when you choose joy by practicing gratitude, you choose gratitude, our perspective begins to change. You can step back and you can see all the ways God has you in your hands, or in His hands. And like I said, I'll leave you with this last thought. Don't eat yellow paint. Thank you.
Let that be a lesson to all you women. Don't be getting with some broke dude. He's got to have a job. He's got standards. Amen. Keep them. Keep them standards. He got that other job just like that. No, I'm just playing. Jeremy's the best guy in the whole world. But you know what? God's got somebody for each and every person. Will you help us clean tonight?